Hi everybody, my name is Esmael Gillis and I am the host of Esmael's World podcast. The podcast is about inspiring people, sharing knowledge, passion, creativity, business secrets, physical and mental health. I interview influential hair, fashion and fashion stylists, business people, key persons of influence, athletes, martial art masters and spiritual masters from around the world. My mission is to connect as much creative minds on the globe as possible. Professionals who want to explore the extraordinary in their craft, who want to continue to develop and make a progression towards excellence. I sit down with inspiring guests who share their experience from a lifetime of work and explain the do's and don'ts in an unedited, in-depth 45-minute conversation. My goal is to inspire listeners to take their own professional and personal life to a progression. It's about contributing and sharing. It's about happiness. Today, we have Janice Comacci on the podcast. Janice has a remarkable journey in hairdressing. He is a third-generation hairdresser who grew up above the family barbershop in Lincoln. He was cutting hair by the age of 10 and by 14 had taught the UK performing hair seminars on stage. He is accepted in the prestigious House of Fidel Sassoon in London. Janny becomes the youngest creative director in the company's history. He is responsible for the creative direction in salons and heads up for internal Sassoon Staff Training Academy. Janny is influential in the cutting and styling of the Vidal Sassoon international campaigns. He launches GS Education in 2013 and is currently traveling the world, inspiring and developing thousands of hairdressers across the world. Hello, Janny. Welcome on the podcast.
Hi, Esmael. Thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure. It's a real pleasure to having you here. I would like you, could you tell us a bit about yourself? What do you do and where do you live?
Sure. Well, I'm, as you mentioned, I'm a third generation hairdresser in your introduction. And I grew up in a small city called Lincoln. And I was started very young in the industry with my grandparents and parents. I moved to London when I was a teenager, when I was sort of just turned 18. And for about 10 years, I worked at Vidal Sassoon, as you mentioned before. And then I left Vidal Sassoon and went into the world of fashion and switched genres. So I left the hair industry and traveled around the world with a photographer called Tim Walker for about 4 or 5 years, working on campaigns and editorials in the fashion world. I then took a year out, as my mum wasn't very well. And luckily, she's still with us, which is great. And when I came back from that short break, I decided to continue working in the fashion world, but started to launch ideas about my own education. I then was approached and worked in the commercial world, and I've been working for the past 9 to 10 years with the portrait photographer David Bailey. I'm currently today living in London, but I travel around the world with my education program, and I'm also the vision director for John Frieda Salons, where my education underpins their business both in London and starting to look into New York as well. So I'm very lucky that I have I've been blessed with a wonderful, very lucky career path. And I'm currently enjoying life, traveling and teaching as well.
Great. So that was a great beginning of your journey, isn't it? So could you tell us a bit, and that's a topic I would like to go a little bit deeper in, about the hidden intelligence of a hairdresser. So where did that come from? What does that mean for you?
Sure. Well, you see, I've been very lucky, as I mentioned, that I've had an unusual path, I guess, where I've worked in the three different genres of hairdressing, which are salon, fashion, and education. I've been lucky enough to work at a high level in all three. And during this time, I traveled to many different places around the world, and I've always felt like I've been on the outside of the industry. I've always felt slightly different. And I've had the vantage point of being looking in from the outside because I've switched industries. And I noticed after about 9 or 10 years of studying different hairdressers from different cultures around the world, the same pattern that was I was very curious to understand. And maybe the best way of explaining it is about a young man that was sat around a table of professionals. And he was around this table with doctors and a dentist and an architect. And when it got to his turn to introduce himself, there was silence. And one of my dreams and one of my goals and one of my visions is that when the next 16-year-old gets to sit around that table of professionals, there is silence no more. You see, I happen to believe that the social function of a hairdresser is extremely high. I believe that this is high and on a level with some of the people around that table. And I think that it's only when hairdressers start to see themselves in a different light that it's a true reflection of how society sees us, and we will command the respect that we deserve as an industry. And I was quite curious to understand why hairdressers saw themselves in this particular perspective. And, you know, I think wherever I've traveled around the world, there has been, whether it's been in India or in Australia or in America or in South Africa, I always travel not just to the big cities, but the small villages and towns. And I've always noticed that wherever I travel, there's usually around one pharmacy, two or three bars, and about 85 hairdressers. And I think that there's a reason for that, that there's something going on. And I think that if we do our jobs very well and we care, which we should be doing, you know, there's a lot more going on than just giving a hairstyle to someone. And I think the social function and the value we give to people in their lives is extraordinarily high, which is why there's so much demand and there are so many businesses opening up close to each other in these small places. And when I speak like this, it's the same everywhere. And I think Sir Ken Robinson really articulated it well when he spoke about the education system globally. Whenever you go around the world, you'll notice that there are, in any school, there are a hierarchy of subjects that was brought in for the Industrial Revolution. And at the very top, you have the maths, the sciences, and the languages. And then at the very bottom, you have the arts. And that hasn't changed from the Industrial Revolution when it was put in place. But society has moved on. And I think that when you're at school and you're a young teenager, pre-16, the way that you receive information can be in a creative form, especially a hairdresser. It can be very different to how others do. For example, in schools, most of the ways that the teachers are teaching are very didactic and binary and very linear. But sometimes you'll have somebody in the class that only accepts information from a visual perspective. And so when you're 16 and you leave school and you're given your exams at that level, you're not really tested on your intelligence, you're tested on your memory. So you simply vomit back out the information that you've retained and remembered. But if you've not had the opportunity to remember that information, because it's not been given to you in a way that you can receive, you then don't come out with the best results. You see, when I was 16, there were two options if you didn't do so well at school. You became a bricklayer or a hairdresser stroke beautician. And that hasn't really changed. And it really upsets me. And I get very passionate and I'm quite determined to change this perspective, because actually what happens is that hairdressers have set themselves, or the schooling system has set hairdressers in particular, a low self-esteem. And that's what they tend to carry through their lives with them and their careers. And that's what I've noticed. But what I'm really keen to do is change that perspective. And I've spoken at Apple and I've spoken with Nike, and I can expand on that. But I'm looking for outside of the industry influences and platforms to help me shine a mirror back to the industry so they can see themselves in a different perspective and different light. You see, when you study, or when I've studied, the subject of intelligence, it's very broad. So if you can imagine on a line, on the left-hand side, you've got academic intelligence. And that's very important. And there are a lot of academic hairdressers and creatives in the world, but not everyone is. And if you move further down that line of intelligence, you've got other forms of intelligence like emotional, spatial, aesthetic, and the list goes on and on. But it's only academic intelligence that gets socially recognized. And that for me is something that is a problem, because it's something that we really need to highlight in this industry, particularly from all generations, whether they're a new generation of a young teenager up into somebody who's been doing it and runs their own business and is maybe doing it for 40 or 50 years. But it's to revalue and relook at the forms of intelligence, because they're hidden And they're the things that we need to look at and celebrate and put value on, because my mission is to awaken the worth of this industry as best I can and leave it in a better place than when I joined it.
Yeah, to pick up on that also, I've seen that you've been collaborating with Apple. So could you share your experience with that?
Yeah, sure. I was approached to speak in one of their theatres, and I got asked back, and it was about sharing one of the key presentations that I give on one of my courses, and also when I'm speaking public, is my creative process. People are quite curious about that. So I gave a lecture on my creative process, but also started to talk and talk about this in an intelligence. And so it was a great collaboration. And I then got asked to go to Nike, and somebody in the audience were from there, and I went and spoke there. So it's exciting to be able to realize that the message transcends the hair industry and goes wider and further.
That's perfect. So you already explained your mission quite strongly. I would like to add to that and ask you, what values then do matter the most to you to be able to reach that goal, to be able to reach your mission, to your mission?
Well, I think the values that one needs is to have a very strong passion and have a very strong feeling that comes from inside the heart. And it's a conscience. I have a very strong conscience and value system that is aligned with wanting to make sure that there is justice and that we really reach our potential and change the way that we see ourselves, because I think it's only through those thoughts and values that will connect with people. And I don't connect with everybody, but I think that if you're true to your values, then you will associate and you will connect. I think connect's the right word, with people who share them. And some of these values aren't necessarily recognizing themselves within the industry, but I would like I said before, I'd like to awaken that and awaken them to their significant value moving forward.
What are, if you could add on that, your biggest goals, dreams and aspirations then?
Well, I think that they change through your career. I mean, my goal when I was younger was to become a creative director in Vidal Sassoon, and I achieved that. And I wanted to achieve a haircut, specifically a haircut on the Vogue, front cover of British Vogue, and I achieved that. And I think, the next stage for me is, amongst many other dreams and ambitions that I've been very lucky to realise in my career, I think the next stage is to really use my experiences and put them together in an educational package and reach as many people as I can to make the biggest difference that I possibly can with the message I have.
So if we can go from there also, Gianni, you already mentioned a broad spectrum of experiences you had, but is there somewhere one particular experience that gave you that aha moment?
I think it was my mother when I was very young. I was about 6 or 7, and I wanted to, I remember wanting I sort of wanted to blow dry my brother's hair as he came out of the shower. I have a younger brother. And I think it was my mum that I saw in me that I had a strong interest and passion for hair, and ignited it by giving me an insight to the world of Vidal Sassoon and the world of fashion and the world of hair, really. And at that such a young age, being spoken to by a parent, especially your mum, and encouraging you was a very key moment that ignited the fire in me that I think began this journey.
So it's amazing how don't you think, how one experience can be a cataclysm and blow you in a certain direction. So
yeah, I think that it's, you have to be receptive and open in life to receive these experiences and then use them to take the course that you want. And not everybody understands at such a young age what they'd like to do. I was very, as I say, very unusual and very lucky. But it's something that I'm forever grateful for.
So I can also imagine, Gianni, that it's not always, you are very lucky, but at the same time, you have to work very hard, because if you don't do the work, you can't develop the hand, and you can't also not develop the intelligence and your mind that you need to achieve those things. So is there somewhere in that process, like a failure, an apparent failure that got you stronger for your success you have today?
Yeah, I think, nothing is smooth and straightforward. And I think that it's the things, the knocks that you get in life, the things that knock you down, are the things that actually make you stronger. I'm a great believer, one of my favorite phrases that I use a lot is, the hotter the fire, the stronger the steel. So if you get burnt and you come through and you survive, you're going to become stronger for it. And I feel that in my own life, there's been many things that have happened, things I haven't necessarily gone the way I've wanted, or I've not produced the work that I felt I should have done. A recent event in life was a health event where I unfortunately got run over by a car in a car park about 2.5 years ago, and it took me out of work for about maybe 10 months, and I was laid up with my ankle and my foot crushed. And so during that time, mentally I had to stay strong and stay focused and use that experience to reassess and negotiate my next move in my career, and use the force of the car to push myself forward in achieving the goal that I wanted. So I think it's how you interpret situations that happen to you. I've been very lucky though. I mean, as I said, I had a lot of support with great people, and I'm very lucky to have a very strong family, a wonderful fiance, and a great team of people around me looking after me, and have done mentors since I was young. So, this is not something I've done on my own, but as you said, hard work is important. But I think hard work is a given. You have to work hard. I don't think that's a choice. I think that's a given.
To continue on that topic of hard work, my experience nowadays is that when we get younger people around us, it's become like more difficult to inspire them. But I don't personally think that like some people think that it's especially about the millennials now, that it's a generation that's lost, because I have like an idea about it that we really need to deeply understand them, because their world, our world also has changed so much. And if we don't understand them very deeply, it's also very difficult to find the spots where you can inspire them, where you can ignite them to be successful and to do the work and to be committed to a goal and to go further in life. And I think it's become like a challenge sometimes. What's your idea about that?
I think, these millennials get such a bad press, and I have to say, I disagree with it. I think the industry has developed, and life has moved forward in a different way, where the internet, social media has changed the aspirations of the millennials and of a younger generation. So yeah, I think that their aspirations and their expectations are shifted and are different due to the way that they receive information. And I think what's really important for for a generation that's beyond millennial, that's of an older generation, is that we still have core values that we can impart and share with them, but it's understanding how to share with them. And for me, I think that it's the thing with a younger generation is that they want everything quite instant. And for me, it's really about understanding, to getting them to understand and question the decision that they decide they want to make is what's the long-term consequence of the decision that they're about to make. And when you ask them that question, it kind of confuses them, because it's not something that they're thinking about in general. They're thinking short-term. So I think to encourage them to think more long-term, I think they're highly intelligent. They're just using their form of intelligence in a different way. So it's really for us to kind of ask them the right questions, and then we'll get the right answers.
Okay. So, do you think we can bring value to inspire them?
Very much. Just like I said, I think it's about making sure we ask them the right questions. And if we get them to question themselves in the right way, I think the value will come. It's, you know, we have to adapt, and life is moving much quicker than it ever did. And so for us to, I think we need to raise our game to make sure we're asking them the right questions in the right way, but we can bring a great deal of value. I'm a huge believer in the hairdressing industry and the generations that are in it. I really disagree. I ferociously disagree. This is a young person's game.
So, Gianni, do you feel there's been an improvement in the way our younger generation is being educated to become successful in life?
I think the new generation have had to have a different approach. I think that the education in hair and in life are maybe two different things. I think education in hair is far more accessible than it ever was, because the knowledge has become global through the internet, whereas in previous generations the knowledge was only available to specific exclusive environments where people had the knowledge, whereas now of course geography isn't a problem. So from that point of view, knowledge has become widespread, but I also think that the knowledge becomes devalued slightly in terms of the accessibility and instantaneous receivement of that information. And so I think that the younger generation see something, they think that they see it quick and they want it quick. And so their expectations are maybe somewhat distorted, because ultimately digital education is extremely important, but it's only a protection of the investment of the hands-on class. Nothing really replaces the human touch. In terms of life, I think that's a broader question. I think it's really a responsibility for the slightly older generation or mid to older generation to have an understanding or a clearer understanding of the younger generation and what's developing there, because it's moving so fast that I think, again, going back to expectations, of a younger generation are far removed from what they were before. So it's something I think we need to study and pay close attention to, because if we lose the connection between the generations of the baby boomers, Generation X, Y, and Z, for example, it's going to, it's definitely going to cause, I think, disruption later on.
Yes, perfect. I agree also with that. Where do you feel that there is difficulty to be a professional coach in our industry in the world today?
Where the difficulty is, I think the difficulty lies within the fact that I think a lot of people, as I was saying in the previous question, that the accessibility to information is so quick and so broad now that it's a little bit like I was talking to a great photographer, David Bailey. We were laughing because, you know, everybody now feels that they're a photographer because they have a camera on their phone. And so anyone can take a photograph and become a photographer. And I think that when it comes to coaching, I think information, knowledge and platforms are so much more accessible that I think people often feel that they can coach and do coach. Whereas I think that the journey to get to that stage hasn't necessarily quite as stringent as it was before. And so I think difficulty is, it's not so much the difficulty of becoming a coach. I think it's difficulty in terms of keeping the integrity and the standards of coaching in general, just because of the accessibility. But there are some fantastic people out there teaching all types of things in life. Long may they be celebrated.
Yes. When you feel overwhelmed or confused, what are the things you do to get your focus back?
When I'm sort of, when there's a lack of focus, or you lose the light at the end of the tunnel, or the top of the mountain, or the phrase would be, I think sometimes you have to stop, and I tend to very much go introvert. I look inwards, and I try to find the areas of my own character that brought me to where I had been before I got lost. And usually the answers lie within there. I mean, I tend to look back to my 12-year-old self when I was a Saturday boy, full of drive and passion, which I still have. But I often ask, I try to think, if I'd asked him the question, if I asked a 12-year-old Gianni what the question, you know, what he thinks the answer would be to the question where I'm lost, he might have the answer. So I think it's about looking at context of where you are and trying to step out of it and looking from a third perspective, third party. That generally is what helps me find my way back.
Yeah, because on the way, it's never easy. So it's also easy to get lost a little bit, and it's so important to have like a tool or something to get back on track, as I say. So, and if you go from there, do you have like a specific inspiration or a philosophy or like a habit that helped you improve your life? Say something you discovered new for you that improved your life on a different way, say for example 1 to 2 years from now.
Yeah, I tend to try to use the things in the bumps in the road in life to help me with that. So for example, I may have mentioned, you know, that I'd got run over and I'd crushed my ankle and my foot. Car had run me over before and it took me out of work. And so with that, I found that the discipline of having to go to a physiotherapy and keeping fit, it pushed me a lot further into that direction than it had before. And so although I won't deny, I do struggle sometimes with my schedule and also my focus to keep on top of that completely, I've realized the benefit and the value of it. And so that definitely gives me a high quality of life from a physical and mental perspective.
Okay. Do you also meditate or do some sports or anything in that kind?
Well, as I say, the physio in the gym, keeping fit, that's definitely the sporting element to it. I sometimes listen to hypnotherapy tapes or MP3s or now online just to keep my mind focused in a more meditative state. And that can help too. It's easy to get lost into the daily life. A mental sort of I call it noise. There's a lot of noise in our lives today, and it's to cut through the noise and find that moment where it's just for you and you kind of find your feet again.
Yeah, it's so important in your journey, especially in your when you're in your shoes, because you need to have like that perfect mental attitude and health also to be able to perform what you do every day. So maybe interesting also, could you explain how your course formats are built, Gianni, and what students can expect?
Yeah, of course. Well, we're really excited to have launched the three elements to our syllabus at GS Education. So we have our Discover, Create, and Evolve. And the way that we see it is GS Education is like a language in hair. So like in any language, when you learn, the first thing that you learn is the alphabet. And we tend to learn all the letters, but what tends to happen in life is no matter how long you've been talking for a long time or a short time, we all have gaps in our language, and we feel it's the same with hair. So what we see is that most hairdressers will have areas of their ability where they're not so secure, or they're not so confident because they hadn't learnt it in a comprehensive way. So they tend to avoid it. And becomes a bigger and bigger fear and insecurity. So our Discover course is all about learning the letters in a comprehensive way. So anybody from, 1 year on the floor to sort of a 34 year old experienced salon owner will be able to benefit by having those gaps filled. We then go to our Create. So once you've learned the letters of the alphabet, we then encourage you to use combinations of those letters to turn them into words. And that's where you can express yourself on a commercial level on the salon floor. And you really have a strong foundation that you work from, which is the Discover, and you can really express it in the Create, which is exciting. So you start to learn the words and sentences, start to put your language together. And the third area is Evolve. So once you've learned the letters and the words, we encourage you very, very much to tell your own stories, where it's about moving beyond the chair, not just behind the chair. And that's sort of about inspirations and a way of thinking, not just a way of working. Our course day formats are formulated really simple. So the Discover and Create, which I'm really excited to be working with you on, is aimed, as I say, across the board at any hairdresser. And we both sets of courses are aimed at the same format. So we start off in the morning with a digital lecture, which is visual and includes film diagrams and lecture notes. And we really go through in a strong strength the theory of, in the Discover course, we'll start with that one. We go through the theory of shape and technique and suitability, refinements, confidence and approach, the methods of technique, all these technical aspects that really help you control and understand not just how, but why we use these techniques when we do. We then follow on from the digital lecture by a demonstration by myself, which is where you see a haircut taken from wet to dry from beginning to end. So you see the demonstration thoroughly all the way through with explanation and a Q&A. And then we break for lunch. And in the afternoon, we then apply everything we've learned in the morning into a hands-on session with the students. So what we tend to do is it's done step by step with myself or any of my teachers. So it's step by step. So we'll do a section and then the students do a section and it goes backwards and forwards. So it's really easy, really enjoyable to follow because it's digestible. And we have it very focused, but we also like to have fun because we really believe that when people have fun, they tend to remember a lot more. We really like to GS education. It's not just what we teach. It's very much about our style of how we teach. And that's been a huge success globally with that. With the Create course, where we use combinations, we focus very much on the other side of the hairdressing elements that we believe in, which is connection. You know, in the 25 years, 30 years I've been hairdressing, we find there's two types of hairdressers. Ones that are really good with their hands, but not necessarily good communicators. And the ones that are great communicators, not necessarily good with their hands. And as I said, you do get both. But this is really aimed at the connection, because to be a successful salon hairdresser, being great with your hands and doing great techniques is a very small part of the bigger picture. So we really encourage people on how to connect, how to understand what a client feels, not just what she needs and thinks. And that is really the key core element at our heart of GS education philosophy, of really how you understand what someone really, really wants. But there's how, you know, you'll always forget what someone said and did to you, but you'll never forget how they made you feel. And we really focus on these aspects. And that 30 years of being a very successful salon hairdresser, we feel that that is something that's important. So again, that's in the lecture of the Create element. And then we go into another demonstration, the hands-on in the afternoon. And it's been so successful. We've just done a tour of Scandinavia and it's been really wonderful. So they're the elements and formats of the way we work on our courses.
What level must the student have to follow the courses?
Well, we've worked with people that have been on the salon floor for 6 months after being qualified. And we've worked with people who've had salons for 40 years. In fact, I just taught a man who'd had a salon for 51 years and it was one of his last courses. It was fantastic. So it really spreads across. It's open to anybody. And the one thing that I would say is that in the experiences of the last few years I've been teaching and we've been rolling this out, is that people have wanted more and more of what we teach. And so, you know, people are generally a little bit apprehensive when they come on the course, but we very quickly encourage people to feel safe. The environment that we work, we promote and we create for people on the course is very much about them understanding the reason why they're doing what they're doing. It's not there to show the best work that they've done. We encourage a family atmosphere. It's a very encouraging, safe environment that people can ask as many questions, the same question 20 times. For us, it's about people understanding. And, you know, people learn in different ways. Some people are linear and didactic. Some people are more visual. And so we cater for all those elements so people can feel that they walk away with something important. And we also have an online education system, which is on Vimeo, and it's through JanniSchemacci.com. And I'm sure you can put that information at the end of the interview. So from the online education, we have done that, and I've built an online portal for hairdressers to learn online step by step what we learn in the classes. And what that really is about is that, you know, I have a lot of equipment. I have Apple's iPads, computers, phones, watches. And, you know, I went and learned, we had a technical problem. I went to Apple and I paid and I learned 4 hours about the problems I had with my equipment. And I said to my team, guys, I've got all the answers to this. So don't worry, you know, I can handle it. And I took notes and as I walked out, it dawned on me that about 3 days later, when I had the meeting with my team, I couldn't remember the information that was given to me. I remember two or three points. I thought, wow, do people come on classes and have the same experience? So we created this online portal where people can protect their investment and see the haircuts step by step. And that's an exciting prospect too.
What is the ideal setup so that students can benefit the most?
Well, I think just what I've just said, which is they see and listen to begin with the lecture. They then get to say they see the theory first, so mental approach. Then they see the physical approach, which is the demonstration. And then they get the mental, physical, and emotional approach of the hands-on. But the fourth element, which I just spoke about, was then protecting the investment and recapping on all three through the videos online. So it's a four-step strategy that we believe works.
Wow, that sounds really great, Gianni. So I think we're going to have like a real, real opportunity to work with you very closely in the future. It's going to be very, very interesting, and I'm looking forward already. So I would like to thank you for sharing this tremendous gift of knowledge with our listeners. Thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you like to experience a workshop with Gianni live, we are very delighted to invite you to one of these events we will be organizing next year in February, September, and November 2019. Just go to esmalsworld.com, click on Hairdressing Masterminds to sign in, and we will take you through the reservation to claim your spot. It will be a great opportunity to work closely with Gianni and be inspired to take our craft to the next level. Give us a rate. Leave a comment, share with your friends, take care, much love. My regards to you all. Thank you very much, Gianni.
Thank you, Ishmael. It's a pleasure.